everyone, and welcome back to another episode here at the Damage Report. It's Wednesday. Those are traditionally big news days most of the time, but what they always are JR days here at the Damage Report. How's it going, JR Jackson?
Actually, this week I did forget to send out the email to all of our congressional members and senators to make sure that they had some big news for me today. But I think we may have scrounged up a little bit of something. We just don't have the same level. Yeah. It's a 9 out of 10.
I mean, look, some of the stuff we're going to be talking about is pretty important. How important is it? It's the only stuff Donald Trump cares about these days. So that'll be interesting. And obviously, we're going to start off once again talking about vaccine patents, which is the sort of sexy topic that brings in the views, but it is incredibly important, which is why we're really hammering on this story. So we're going to be talking about that in a little bit. We've got what do the people think about this nationwide fight to restrict voting rights, and the DNC starting to take the next election pretty seriously, but I have my concerns. So we're going to be closing off the show with that. So definitely stick around for that. But until then, thank you for being here, everyone. Please hit the like button if you.
Sorry. Go ahead, John.
No, now I can't. What were you gonna say?
Well, I mean, hit the like button, subscribe, please, and all that good stuff. Make sure we get to the numbers up on the TDR live thing, and maybe we'll actually get John's dog to show up today because we're all sick of seeing Sprocket. Now that's not true. Now that we got the business part out of the way, I just want to make sure we have an update to the inaugural episode of JR's Candies. There's some new stuff out today, you guys. And I discovered this at a local gas station. And anytime there's something new out of a candy that I have not had, I must try it because I need to review it for my loyal fans over my OnlyFans about candies. So the Skittles gummies, number one, they captured the best flavor of gummies because it's the wild berry ones and it's gummies and it's very, very, very good. I have to make sure you guys know that. The entire bag is already empty. I just got it yesterday. So that's how quickly the pace went on those. Check out your Skittles gummies at your local Arco station near you.
I might actually do that. But I will look for the full review available at your Only Cans coming up soon. Anyway,
they call my only candies site.
I'm watching for the super chats to come in. I'm a little bit worried about what happens every time you talk about that. But anyway, thank you everybody for being here. Please send us messages, comments, questions, concerns, all of that. We've seen some super chats come in already, and we'll be reading those as we go. But with that, why don't we launch into first story of the day?
Let's do it.
Basically, as we're recording this, the WTO is going to be considering whether there will be a change to the patents that have been sort of put in for the vaccines that are being used to fight against COVID-19. Will they be changed? Will waivers be made? Will the countries that are currently being hit the worst in this pandemic be able to domestically produce the vaccine? Well, we'll see. But what we do know is that the people are in support of a change. A new poll finds that support for government action to compel the sharing of vaccine recipes in Italy, it's at 82%, Canada 76%, United Kingdom 74%, Germany at 70%, and the US is at 69%, which is not nearly as nice as you might think. Why are we at the lowest end of that? Maybe it has to do with the fact that we got our vaccine, so who cares what happens to everyone else? But look, even so, 69% is really up there. There does not seem to be a lot of disagreement on this topic, JR.
Yeah, it does. You said 69% does sound like a pretty good number. But again, we always talk about how the world's leader, we're the world's leader, the world's leader, the world's leader all the time. We have to show it every once in a while that we're the world's leader on good things, not always the world's leader on destructive things or even self-destructive things to ourselves. So sure, I don't think we should complain way too much over the number, but we should also have some ideas the fact that we're on the lower end of what many of these larger, more wealthy countries are sitting at, and kind of notice that we shouldn't be that low on it, you know?
Yeah, and look, I would argue we're at 69% without really a high profile domestic case being made for it. Like, you know, Biden has said, we showed you the video yesterday. If you didn't see it, go yesterday on the channel. You got to watch that video. He was super clear that he wants this to be done, and yet he's not really talking about it right now. And we have some ideas why. New reporting from inside of the White House says that there are divisions within the Biden administration persisting over whether to ease some patent restrictions on vaccines, according to people familiar with the matter, as the president nears a decision on loosening some intellectual property rules on pharmaceutical products. So at the same time, the WTO is considering it. They're apparently trying to decide what to do. So there is this division. So what are the different sides? Well, the patent debate has pitted some of the administration's health and development experts against those inside the White House who are wary of angering major drug manufacturers like Pfizer and Moderna. Okay, so really fast, I want to focus on that. And this is more about how these sorts of articles are written, because that this is not an op-ed, straight reporting. And yet, oh God, the perspective on that, to pit those concerns as being wary of angering drug manufacturers, rather than saying there are some people who are totally cool with the profit motive of these corporations being what drives government policy rather than a consideration of the people that will die. That is just as accurate a read of what's going on. I would argue more objectively accurate. And yet that's not what makes it into the article. Instead, it's they're wary about things. It's about things being loosened or tightened. It's not about profits over people driving the administration. Others inside the administration are concerned at the optics of Biden reversing a pledge he made as a candidate to absolutely positively commit to sharing vaccine technology if elected president. And some have voiced concern at appearing overly deferential to big pharmaceutical companies against the wishes of progressives. So concerned at the optics of Biden reversing a pledge. No, just like, it might look bad if we were gigantic liars. That's what that means. It's all of it is just everything's 10 layers of invisibility cloaks on the actual meaning of the story. But anyway, those are the sides, JR. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, those are the sides, and those aren't very surprising, honestly. As much as we like to think that this is, you know, all being rolled out so well, and we're thinking about all these other countries and global, the world getting beyond this pandemic and our part in it. But now we're hung up because we're worried about the optics of whether or not we're gonna anger any pharmaceutical industries and corporations that have all this money, and maybe they're gonna go out of business. All these things always happen. We say, oh, I wonder if we actually do the right thing, if these huge, huge corporations, they're gonna go out of business. Man, the fragility of these corporations that we put so much trust in, I mean, the proposed fragility of these corporations that we put so much trust in, geez, man, like, why are we pumping money into these things that are about to break on the first sight of anything being done that's outside of their norm of racking as much money as possible? That's really the thing. And also, we start from this point that we have to answer to corporations. You know, people want to push back on government. Oh, I'll get the government out of my life. Hey, the government shouldn't control me. Freedom. Well, the government is now, not now, has always been worried about these corporations, what they're gonna do to them if they disobey them, or if they cross them, or if they make them angry. Who's the boss of this country again? Like, is this a democracy?
Unfortunately, the bosses are the boss.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah.
We tout this democracy we've got, but then we will openly say our democracy is worried about corporations being angry about what we do in a democracy. So who's in control here? You know?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna find out. We're gonna find out with the WTO internationally. We're gonna find out with what Biden says. I have my fears, but again, the American people very clear about what they want here. Now that said, let's turn to another aspect of this. Dr. Anthony Fauci is one of the most respected people in the country right now when it comes to topics of public health. Maybe the most universally respected, if I were to guess. So what does he actually think about waiving the vaccine patents? We've been trying to figure it out, and I don't know, it seems like every day it's slightly different. So let's go back to Monday, where he said, I always respect the needs of the companies to protect their interests to keep them in business, but we can't do it completely at the expense of not allowing vaccine that's life-saving to the people that need it. You can't have people throughout the world dying because they don't have access to a product that rich people have access to. So that's pretty good. It could be a little bit stronger, but especially the last part, very good. We can't let tons of people die, and they will. India had nearly 4,000 deaths yesterday, 400,000 cases still. It's still 400,000, not actual cases, results of positive tests. Like, God only knows how many people actually are getting it every single day. But anyway, that's what he had to say on Monday. That said, we know that in the White House, there's divisions and there's this big back and forth and all of that. So is he advocating for that? The evidence is not quite as strong, because when you really get into the nitty gritty of what should be changed, he starts changing his tune a little bit from the moralistic, we can't let prophets, you know, reign as people die, to the what would the actual timeline be like? So he had apparently told the FT earlier this week that he was agnostic about how to boost a vaccine supply to developing countries. He added going back and forth, consuming time and lawyers in a legal argument about waivers. That is not the end game. People are dying around the world and we have to get vaccines in their arms in the fastest and most efficient way possible. He said that he was not wedded to waiving patents and did not want anything to stand in the way of getting vaccines more quickly. Quote, if you take too long, people are going to die. There are other ways to ramp up vaccine production around the world. So that's like from these companies are greedy, poor people can't afford it, we have to give them the vaccine to maybe there's something we can do. I can't say for sure that that's a result of the conversations that are going on in the White House, but it feels to me like that's what it is, because Biden had been really clear. He had been really clear, and now everything is very far from clear.
Well, yeah, because now the money is now speaking. So this is part of the problem you get when you cross like a profitable business or a capitalistic system where these businesses are supposed to be there to develop things for science and technology purposes or vaccine distribution or controlling a virus that's going across the entire world, because their motive is to make money, right? And the people that will back that would be like, well, they deserve to make money. But before that, are you the same people that said, hey, everyone should be vaccinated, everyone should be somehow put under, we should get everyone under the control of this so it doesn't continue to spread and kill more people? Because there's this moral responsibility to it. I'm not sure if it's considered responsibility or if it's just considered like a line that we say. So even just in our country, when we like to talk about how much we need to make sure that everyone is vaccinated, everyone's on the same page. Even before the vaccine came out, everyone's wearing masks, we're following social distancing guidelines, washing our hands, closing certain places so things won't spread as much. If we cared about all that, why is it suddenly we're closing the door on that happening across the world? It goes back to our normal, and Donald Trump came down that damn escalator and started preaching isolationism. So are we still isolationists on this when it comes to not helping the rest of the world control the virus? Are we on board with that, or is it only with our country? And then we close our doors and build a wall at our borders and make sure no flights come in, because that's what we're upset about too. So when we start worrying about corporations making sure that they're having control of all this money and not providing any more information across the world to control this, it kind of comes back against your original moral thought of we need to control this because people are dying across the world. Oh, okay, we got it under control here in America, so F the rest of the world. I mean, if that's your stance, that's your stance, but don't act like it isn't.
And that's generally, I think, I would expect a lot of Americans would be perfectly fine with that. Whether they would ever vocalize that or explicitly think it, they will start to care less, which is why, you know, I think it's good that the media is focused so much on what's going on in India to try to get people to not just be like, I guess I got it, it's not so bad. Although again, the poll shows that people are okay with the patents being being waived. That said, what is going to happen, we don't know for sure, but in this CNN reporting from inside the White House, they say one option that has emerged is using the patent issue as leverage with vaccine makers to nudge them into ramping up global manufacturing capacity and donating or selling doses at drastically reduced cost. So I love that. It's like, okay, so we as a government could get rid of the patents, we waive them, and save a ton of lives, generate untold international goodwill. We could do all of that, that's within our power. Or we could nudge them. You just give them a little nudgy. Maybe they'll do something okay. Maybe they'll sell it cheaper. We do that. We're only the most powerful people in the world. We'll just, that's what they might do. And honestly, yesterday on the show, we were talking about Moderna's pledge to, the headline version is, give 500 million doses worldwide, which is the headline version. The true version is 34 million doses by the end of this year, the rest of it next year. And oh, did we say give, we mean sell at lower rates. That, I don't understand. So the actual story is business pledges to sell its product. That's not awesome, okay? And so, That's what you get, I guess, from nudging. But lots of people's lives are on the line. I think that they expect a bit more than a nudge.
Well, John, if you sign up for the pharmaceutical company's store card, you can get that sale price that's on the shelves every week. Just make sure you check out your circular in your local newspaper to get all those deals. Cut out the coupons and you might get a cheaper price on the vaccine information.
Hashtag everyone clip out the circular and send it to India, I guess, because that's the best we can do for them.
And if no one buys it, it might go on clearance. They're gonna have some surplus available.
That's something to look forward
to. Just wait a little longer.
You know what that is? Letting it go on clearance, that is restoring the soul of America right there. Anyway, I hope that people are really paying attention to this. I hope that the White House and politicians are really feeling pressure over this, because right now it is not looking good for the US being any sort of leader on getting these patents to be waived.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be. Featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Not that long ago, Facebook actually did something about Donald Trump after helping to signal boost his lies for years and years while making tons of money off of it and allowing him to lie in campaign ads. They banned him from Facebook permanently. So of course, within just a few months after that, we'd be talking about the possibility of him coming back. Well, on Wednesday, the Facebook Oversight Board, a body of journalists and policy experts appointed by the company to rule on its toughest content decisions, announced that Facebook was right to block Trump from posting on its platform in January. But hold on to your butts. Facebook first suspended him in the aftermath of the Capitol attack. While referring the case to the board, the company's head of global affairs, Nick Clegg, said the decision was made in the quote, extraordinary circumstances of quote, a US president actively fomenting a violent insurrection designed to thwart the peaceful transition of power. Which is objectively true. That is exactly what it was. So they were right to do it, but that doesn't mean he's going to be permanently banned, like permanently. So in its ruling, the oversight board said that it upheld the suspension of Trump's account, but warned that an indefinite suspension was inappropriate. Now the board says Facebook has 6 months to make a final decision about a permanent response to Trump's account. The board said that the company could restore his account or could permanently boot him, but that it needed to make a decision either way, which is what I, and I think most people around the country, thought had already been done. So JR, what do you think?
Well, you know, like you said, like you point out the 6 month time frame, and then they have to make a final decision, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it seems like a delay tactic for right now, but they have to eventually make a final decision. And of course, it's, you know, you do what you can for now as long as it's staying in place. But six months from now, when we have a chance to find out what their final decision is when the real news is going to hit. Like, this is the final decision. Either he's back in permanently or he's out permanently. And so right now, it's just a chance to read about what he's going to do next, which I think you have also his new endeavors. And that may be the thing that points out exactly the things we need to see that he's gonna do that might keep him off the platform forever. We'll see. I mean, it's almost like the ball's in your court. Show us some more. Are you reformed? Or are you still the same idiot that we had to ban the first time?
Oh, and we have some evidence to that area, which we'll get to in one moment. But first, and this is like they're basically saying You guys have to decide. Mm-hmm. But they do also say, and this is kind of weighing in a bit, while all users should be held to the same content policies, there are unique factors that must be considered in assessing the speech of political leaders. And I know exactly what they mean by that. They mean this BS argument that, well, if you get elected, you get to lie. They can gussy it up and gild it and whatever they want, but that's what they mean. Mm-hmm. I would say, okay, let's say that I agree that there's unique factors that must be considered in assessing the speech of political leaders. Not about their rights, but about consequences. Because if rando Jim Bob lies, that may be bad in some sense. It's probably not gonna lead to an attack on the Capitol. I would say we need to be more restrictive, have a higher standard for these politicians. They want their position to mean that they effectively have immunity, like for their entire time on the platform. How about this? No, you have more power, and with that comes, as we were taught as kids, great responsibility. So you should be held to a higher standard. And thus far, that is very much not how they have interpreted this.
Yeah, so John, apparently a lot of folks missed that particular movie in the Marvel sequence of films. So they didn't learn that lesson.
They skipped right to the shows.
you got to give more guidance on which order of movies to go in, bro. I mean, you're failing.
Exactly. Yeah.
But no, yeah. So, see, you got me thrown off on Marvel. So yeah, no, there's finally a chance to see where they'll land on how this will be, and I don't know if this is gonna affect Twitter in the next stage. You know, so there's all the platforms where he's gotten banned, and it's almost like they take cues from each other about which way to go, because one doesn't want to be on one side and the other be on another, and then get whatever wrath of the opposing party of people has it. So this may do a lot of influencing as far as how the other platforms respond once they finally make their decision. And we'll see how that goes, because no one ever wants to be in this kind of public eye, wants to be the odd man out as far as these things go.
That's true. Well, look, so he was thrown off for spreading the big lie and getting people to be violent over it. But it has been months, so you know, maybe that's not necessary anymore. Maybe Trump has changed. Maybe the rationale for banning him doesn't exist anymore. That said, he posted this in the last 24 hours. Head gutless and clueless minority leader Mitch McConnell. He blew two seats in Georgia that should have never been lost. Fought to expose all of the corruption that was presented at the time. With two more found since, we would have had a far different presidential result. Oh, he's still telling the lie. So you haven't learned at all. And we can expect that if you were reinstated on Facebook, that same lie would have been posted on Facebook a billion times over, would have been shared by millions of your sheep. Well, then, yeah, like it's like he was just told, hey, by the way, Facebook is closely watching you and trying to decide if it would be safe to bring you back on. Well, let me reassure you, it ain't. That's what I get out of that, JR.
Yeah, and also when a guy's out of office, like you talked about the whole immunity that they want because they're in office, so they should be able to lie without any consequence or even anyone telling them directly, hey, that's a lie. But so what about when you're out of office? Like, so when you have the most influence is when you're allowed to lie. It's so backwards, and I know you pointed it out.
Yeah.
But then if you get voted out, which he did, then not many people had that same kind of influence. Like John Boehner had to write a book and go on a media tour to make sure people still remembered who he was. Because people forget immediately, as soon as politicians are voted out, who they were and what they did, except for this guy, because he's the one who still has this following of people that will continue to be there. But so if a lying politician faces consequences, then gets voted out, do you then reinstate him? Because no one's following him anymore, because he's no longer able to incite things like this. It seems very backwards. They gotta figure out the best way to go about this, which seems pretty straightforward. Try to limit the amount of people inciting violence and spreading lies that will incite further violence like this that we saw on January 6th.
100%. And God, I love the lies. Briefly. He blew two seats in Georgia that should have never been lost. Okay, so challenge the audience. Does literally anyone in the audience think that if they had won those seats, he wouldn't have claimed that he was the reason they'd won? Come on, does anyone think that? Oh, or more importantly, does anyone believe that if they'd won those seats, literally everyone that likes Trump would have said he was responsible? It's amazing. Any victory is your fault, any loss. someone else, anybody.
100%. It's like a second grader playing, you know, dodgeball or something on the playground yard. Hey, if the rules in the game go the direction, it's a great game. If they are suddenly out, hey, the rules said this, we're changing that. Actually, I won. It's no matter what, you manipulate the situation to have you be the winner. And he's never graduated from second grade and that type of stuff. Because those second graders are the ones that eventually the rest of the kids go, I'm not playing with Johnny anymore. He cheats.
Yep.
Every time, and you leave him alone. But, you know.
And as here comes the Tony pointed out, dude spent like months and months saying, now everybody don't vote by mail. I know it's super convenient. We could really use the support, but don't do it. Also, whole election's rigged. What's the point? Don't even be involved. Damn you, McConnell. You blew it. Ridiculous. Okay, now just briefly, Facebook has decided that as of right now, it was okay for Facebook to ban Trump, but they are going to have to return to the topic within the next 6 months and decide, is it permanent or is it not? And so the greatest thinkers on the internet have weighed in about this, including one Charles Kirk Esquire, who says, the US Supreme Court should overturn the Facebook's oversight boards, which he puts in quotation marks as if it's made up. I don't get that ruling, which he also put which upholds the outlawing of the 45th president of the United States from social media. No, it did not. It took him off of their platform, not all social media. It's not like Twitter's like, hey, Trumpy, sorry, but Facebook said you can't be here. Anyway, that he says this is big tech, corporate oligarchy without, he's very worried about oligarchies, by the way, without standing, and it's gone too far. Enough is enough. Okay, so this is what happens when you've seen a lot of words. You don't really know what they mean, but you want to be cool and use them. What do you mean without standing? It's not the US Court of Appeals, and they're talking about something that happens on their platform. If there's any standing to be had, they're the only ones that have it at that point. And you can't appeal a social media board's decision to the Supreme Court, you stupid moron. That's not how any of this works.
Doesn't have to be real life, John. Never has to. In fact, it's better if it's not real life. It's better if it makes no sense and you have to live in a cartoon world for it to make any sense whatsoever. You notice he also used the term outlawing, you know, Facebook's oversight board ruling, quote unquote, which upholds the outlawing. So
it's not outlawing.
It's not
a law. It's not about law. It's about like, do you believe that corporations get to make decisions about the own internal workings of their products? You obviously do. You were incredibly deferential to corporate power and the free market and all that BS capitalist stuff. You definitely think that. You just don't like that Trump's not on Facebook. That's the only thing. That's the only principle. He's like implying all of these values and principles, but that's the only one. I like ye when it's good for us. I don't like ye when it's not. That's the only concrete standard that's been applied here.
I'm just trying to figure out.
You can't over like send it to the Supreme Court. Okay, so I would like to hang swords in my office. My wife's not gonna be cool with that. I can't respond, I'm taking this to the Supreme Court. Yes, they're supreme. That doesn't mean everything goes there. That's not how that works.
I'm tired of these people.
What do you mean you're not serving coffee cake? Straight to DC I go. I don't know. Anyway,
I'm trying to figure out when conservatives are gonna stop kneeling and serving the government and start trusting businesses. You know, we gotta trust the businesses to make the decisions and then let it all trickle down upon us. You know, that's what they stand for, right? How come they don't stand for letting Facebook do whatever the hell it wants and letting the results trickle down on Donald Trump? That's what works for the rest of us.
They're not in favor of judicial activism. They just want the Supreme Court to tell a private company that they have to let Trump post messages again. Anyway, I forgot that it's actually about to get stupider in this story. Yeah. I completely forgot.
So I keep waiting for it, John.
Oh God, we're gonna read some comments and then dumb meets dumber. We've been hearing rumblings about Donald Trump's next move, and it was supposed to come in the form of strike back against social media for having dared to ban him, cutting off his direct communication line with his millions and millions of devoted cult followers. So he was going to do something. Is it Trump TV? Is it taking over Parler? Is it his own right wing Twitter? Well, he's got something now. Months after getting banned, the former president on Tuesday unveiled a new website that will allow him to communicate directly with his supporters from a blog called From the Desk of Donald J. Trump. The desk, usually meaning toilet. Anyway, we have a shot of the new project, the just launched revolution in presidential communications. It's a blog. It's a really simple looking blog where he posts sort of tweets.
Long tweets.
The whole thing. Can we show that again? Because that's the whole thing. Like that photo, that's it. It's been months. Dude, like you should have looked into Squarespace, man. You could get an awesome looking website up and running in like a day or two. I've done it. Go to johnidarola.com.
I was going to say, at one point, I think Squarespace had a deal. You know, we had like a promotion with them with TYT.
We did.
Hey, Trump could have easily logged on. But squarespace.com/TYT and get his discount.
Maybe like a Tumblr or something? What was taking so long?
I'm proud of him that it doesn't look like a website around 2001 where it's a black background and the writing is yellow, pink, green.
I think he was overruled. But like, so the former president. Okay, so every president has what their thing is going to be. So for instance, Jimmy Carter decided, you know what, I'm going to annihilate illnesses. So he's been off doing that for decades. And apparently also shrinking gradually year by year because he's now a pocket sized, according to photos I've seen on the internet. You know, Obama's doing whatever it is that Obama's doing, producing content for Netflix and all that. Trump just wants to tweet, man. It's the only thing he wants in his life is to send tweets. That dude, we know some very online people. Some of the biggest friends of the show are incredibly online in that way, but nobody loves Twitter more than Trump. And so he's like 1% replicated the experience. So that's what it's like. You can read about warmonger Liz Cheney by like going all the way over to his website. Like, That sucks.
I mean,
it's not on Facebook. It's not on Twitter. You have to go to his website to see one Twitter feed.
It's the best. It's the best he can do, and maybe it'll work because that's the level of insanity that many of his followers have. And you know what? The thing about him being deplatformed and banned from these sites, it really may be, and it seemed like an exaggeration. I feel like I either thought it before. I know people have said it. Mm-hmm. That being banned from Twitter especially is like the worst thing that ever happened to him, personally to him in his own brain. Because I mean, the whole thing about running for president, being president for 4 years, trying to nearly destroy the entire country, all that was just the buildup to him then having enough people that will actually hang on to every word he tweets. And he lost that at the end. He's like, oh, I was president just so I could be a Twitter king. And now you took me off of it? That's his only motivation for anything is get attention. He needs attention. He needs attention from his very loyal supporters. And if they're not able to give him that, it's like you're cutting off his blood supply. That's all he's got. So he's trying to find some new way. This is his IV.
I agree. Now let's go back to that photo. So what he liked was being able to send his messages, but also them getting likes and replies and retweets.
Right.
So he can't retweet anyone there because he doesn't see anyone else's stuff because it's not Twitter. He can get likes, I guess, but that's definitely gonna be less than before, right? And then look at their attempt to be clever. So it's got the little button to share on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook and Twitter doesn't stamp that down in like 3.5 seconds, then that's gonna be a bit suspect. Dude, that is not as clever as you think it is. Well, I'm not tweeting, they're just tweeting the things I say. And honestly, I mean, there's like a 2% chance it'll work because some people have been able to share his presidential statements that are just tweets. But this is literally his attempt to replicate Twitter. Like they have to break this. Can we do a poll? Is Brooke on Twitch? Can we set up a poll? Is Twitter going to allow Twitter shares from his faux Twitter? They can't allow it.
You know what? We'll see. For the sake of fun, I think they will. Or they'll miss it, or not even miss it. They'll I don't know. It'll be a nice loophole, and maybe he's successful in this part.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a small victory, I suppose. Huh?
Okay. Well, as that poll hopefully goes up, we're gonna turn it out of the reactions. So we'd all been waiting to find out what Trump's revolution in personal communication was going to be, and it turns out it was like a GeoCities site. So the reaction was interesting online. Aaron Rupart tweeted, "Trumpers should just join Trump's new communications platform." Oh wait, I'm being told it's WordPress blog. Yeah, it had been talked about as if it was going to be either competition for Fox News or competition for Twitter. It's competition for my website, because technically you can send me messages on that, and I think it has a feed to my Instagram. My website has more functionality than the website of a billionaire former president. But anyway, Jill Kryuski says, "Live look at Trump's new blog, oldcoot.com, why today stinks." That is all it's gonna be. Best case scenario, that's gonna be what it is. And so some of you might think, okay, well, Twitter's easy to go to. I just go to Twitter. I don't even know where do you go to get to Trump's? Well, it turns out it's available at www.creedthoughts.gov.www/creedthoughts. So it's not that hard, really. It's mostly just a Google Doc. But anyway, it is available. But that said, JR, like, if you are a Trump fan, like if you're in Fox News or just one of the regular ones, you have to pretend that this is great, right? That this is the best revolution ever.
Well, yeah, because again, you got to promote it. He needs the attention. He needs people to actually be on board with it. If enough people aren't reading it, or it's not being spread around enough, each of his messages each day, you know, it's a fail. So the launch has to be big. Like with anything else, the launch has to be big enough that people will glom onto it. And maybe it'll start off with a little bit of spreading of his news and his thoughts every day, but I get the feeling it may die down a little bit, because this extra step of going to his blog, then sending it over to Twitter, and then Twitter having the interactions there, I don't know if enough people are committed to that. Enough regular people. He may have staff trying to push that, but enough regular people to really fuel it. I think it might die out a little bit.
And part of what you were saying is, again, if they allow that stuff to be shared, which I still look, the vote right now is 56 yes, 44 no. So I guess people are on your side, but I just don't think it's gonna happen. I mean, look, he could try to make it a bit more dynamic by like him sharing messages from other people, sort of curating like a little bit of Matt Gaetz, like, you know, maybe Matt Gaetz like has like a weekly, like we use top 10 16 year olds or something. Like maybe he could share content like that.
Jesus.
Or like Charlie Kirk's thoughts. But he's not gonna wanna do that. He's not gonna wanna share it. So it is just going to be these insane detached half thoughts. I don't see it working. I guess setting up a Fox News competitor is just too difficult, I suppose.
That's the next step. The next Fox News competitor is gonna be only available on television where you have to use the antennas.
Maybe. What do the American people think about this Republican-led effort to curtail voting rights as much as possible, suppress the vote, make it increasingly difficult and filled with hurdles, while at the same time the Democrats have this HR1, this For the People Act, that's gonna make it easier to vote? Well, you have these two different options. There's been a lot of discussion about it. What do the American people think? Well, the American people that are serving in the Republican Party, not big fans. Zero GOP lawmakers have so far backed it, despite the fact that, you know, it would fight back against things that most people hate, like partisan gerrymandering, money in politics, weird hurdles to register and vote, and all of that. Now, the people who are not serving in Republican legislatures and Congress, more than 80% of respondents said they supported preventing foreign interference in elections, limiting the influence of money in politics, and modernizing election infrastructure to increase election security. More than 60% of respondents supported requiring nonpartisan redistricting commissions, a 15-day early voting period for all federal elections, same-day registration for all eligible voters, automatic voter registration for all eligible voters, and giving every voter the option to vote by mail. So there are some things that people are not as supportive of. We will get to those. But for most of the core provisions of the For the People Act, there is overwhelming support. I don't know who the 10 to 20% of the country that's like, yeah, foreign powers should be able to interfere with our elections, but they are outnumbered. That's the good news, JR.
Yeah, so again, whenever you see polling from actual American people about what they want, I mean, that's kind of just for the pundits and everyone to talk about, because politicians who actually are supposed to listen to what people are saying based off of fact, Because I'm sure there's plenty of polling that goes out there where people have their opinions and it's based completely off of falsehoods. That's just the way it works. And we talked earlier about how politicians expect this immunity from lies. So they'll tell the lies long enough that enough people believe that a lie is the truth. And then we poll based off of it and say, oh, look, this many percentage of American people believe this lie. And it's considered to see as, hey, this many American people actually think this way for a good, valid reason, when really they don't. So on the other side, when people actually think a certain way because it's actually based in facts, they won't listen to them. They only listen to the people that they've not convinced of the falsehood and then pass it off as the American people telling politicians the way they want to go with things. It's actually the complete opposite. It's why it always frustrates me when politicians of any party come on and say, yeah, so the American people want this and they want that and they want this and they want that. It's like, which American people are you talking about? The ones you just made up because that's what you want? And you'll tell the American people, this is what the American people told me they want. When did they tell you that? Which American people told you that? Did you go out there and roll up your sleeves and stand in the middle of a diner and talk to three of them? Like that's the way that we push these types of things. And then it gets into our brains because you're like, oh, I saw it on Fox News. There was a politician standing in a local restaurant in Arkansas, and three of them with cowboy hats on said this. Therefore, the American people think so. It's just,
yeah,
it's outrageous. And these guys want to be on TV. They want to be seen and heard as these people who support this politician. It's a bit of an annoying cycle. But I mean, that, I'm sorry, I went on that full thing on it, but it's just the way these pollings end up getting interpreted by a lot of these folks that tell us what it means.
That's true. Maybe I'm one of those people. I don't know, but I'm gonna try to tell you what I think it means. But yeah, look, there's a lot of issues where it's weird that what the American people want, whether you're trying to assess that via polls or watching the results of multiple elections in a row, it's weird when it's not considered. But like, whether they should be able to vote and how difficult it should be seems like one of the things that their input should be most directly influencing. And yet it doesn't at all. It's entirely based on politicians trying to protect themselves, protect their positions and all of that. Now, let's go to some of the ones that we're gonna sort of move down into areas where there isn't as much support. So let's see, the poll also asked about a competing redistricting reform proposal, not currently in the For the People Act. So this isn't actually in the bill. Mm-hmm. Setting proportional standards such that if a party wins about half of the votes in a state, it should win about half the seats. This got less support than any of the other provisions above, but was still backed by 51% to 34% who say they oppose this. Now, some of the provisions of the For the People Act would actually help to accomplish that goal without explicitly being about it. And the reason that is that when you fight back against gerrymandering, you fight against that. Gerrymandering is why you can have some states, and we've broken this down in the past, where you can win like, you know, 57% of the vote and get 85% of the seats, yeah, because of the way they've manipulated politicians and all that. People don't actually like that. Now, let's talk about some of the other provisions. More Republican voters opposed automatic voter registration than supported it, but it was still super close, 46 to 44. The same goes for restoring voting rights for people convicted of felonies who have completed their sentences, 49 against to 39 for. And giving every voter the option to vote by mail, 54 against to 38 for. Now, look, we could say they're just saying that because Trump told them to, but that said, they do seem to believe it. Mm-hmm. And it is convenient that they're like, felons shouldn't get to vote, like that it should be up to them that these other people who are not in jail can't vote anymore. It's just amazing. Like, anyway, so there are some things, JR, that they're clearly not for, these Republican voters. But even there, they're not as opposed to it as you might think.
Yeah, well, that's because it's a competition in your own brain of what makes sense versus what am I thinking my politician that I think I support, and also he or she supports me, and we have this nice relationship based off of it. It's weird because this isn't just a Republican thing. We've corralled voters and political thinkers in the country as these groups, and if you don't go with the group think, you're a rhino. And people are so afraid of being called this opposing figure within their own party. But then when they pay attention to what's happening, they're like, well, wait a second, that doesn't match up with reality. But then again, I'm a Republican or Democrat, so that has to match up with the way I believe. And they have this conflict. I think that's why it's so close. Because you look up and they would go, well, why would you be against voter registration on the day of? Why would you be against shutting down gerrymandering from either side? By the way, this isn't just a one party thing. From either side, gerrymandering, things like that, allowing ex-felons who've been released from prison to allow to vote again. I get why people be mad about all that, but do they get why they're against that? So ask the very next question. Not that the poll should, but maybe it could. So why are you against felons being able to vote? Why have they been released from jail in the first place? You know, what is it you think they're gonna do? Because I don't think people think to that next step. All they think is, well, I'm supposed to think that way because that's the way I think. Yeah. And it's not much of a thought process, ironically.
I don't know, when you throw out the should they have been released at all, I wonder what the breakdown would be in response to that question.
And make people answer those questions, because sometimes people's reasons are they're horrible, but they don't have to say them out loud. So therefore they can just kind of keep them in the back end of their brain and pass it off as something else.
Yeah, very often politicians get to do that little trick on the news. Let's turn to a slightly different aspect of this, because I have this video I want to play. As we've been talking about, there is a debate about what should happen with voting. Some people, let's call them radicals, think that people should be able to vote if they want to. Then there's all the Republicans that have been losing elections and don't want to keep losing elections, so they're trying to make it as difficult as possible. Now, for the most part, I would say the media has been pretty responsible about identifying what these different state legislatures are trying to do and why so many Republicans in Congress don't support HR 1. That said, media is gonna media. And so sometimes they really play into Republican narratives in this area. And I wanna show you this intro to a segment from CBS.
Republican-led effort to tighten state voting laws is getting a burst of support from former President Donald Trump.
What do you mean tighten voting laws? Someone wrote, like, that wasn't, you know, yep. We will occasionally have a slip of the tongue, which we shouldn't, but we don't use teleprompters. Somebody wrote that and he read tighten. What does tighten mean?
Isn't it tighten like you tighten up
for bikini season, you know? You tighten up something that's needlessly loose, like holes in security. Like, tighten in this context to me sounds like a good thing. Doesn't it, JR, or am I being too hard on them?
Yeah, you're tightening up. It's the same thing. It's like tightening your belt. You know, when you're trying, they use that term also when you're trying to shore up your spending. You know, you tighten it and it seems responsible and adult-like and the right thing to do. So if you're tightening up these things, yeah, as you said, you're catching those loose ends because nobody wants a messy voting system. And right now we have a couple loose ends. Republicans are trying to tighten things up.
Yeah, you tighten up things that have become bloated or things tighten up. So for instance, I've gained a lot of weight. My shirts have tightened up, but it's not a good thing that we're identifying here. So anyway, it's a really weird way to talk about it, especially when, as we've been discussing, like Republicans, regular Republican voters, I mean, not the politicians, do seem that there's a window where they can be reasonable in this area. So for instance, a greater share of Republican voters supported same day voter registration than opposed it. More said they were in favor of limiting voter roll purges than said who were they were in favor of those purges. More supported a 15-day early voting period than who did not. Like, they're not the same as their politicians on this topic, which is important. We need to communicate well to make sure that if there's gonna be a big national debate, that they are responsive to their politicians. But if the media starts to just use whatever narrative, whatever terminology the Republican Party wants, then I'm worried that this opening could sort of wash away and it could go down to just who's in power. If it's a Republican state, they can tighten it all they want. And you know, we'll see what the Democrats try to do nationally. But it seems like a wasted opportunity. I feel like considering the stakes, they need to be more responsible in this area.
Yeah, well, they don't. The objective is not to be more responsible in these areas. The objective is to play the middle ground because, you know, CBS? It was CBS News and it was like their
CBS, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like their normal non-partisan style reporting. So that type of terminology, the thought is, well, we're not gonna implicate Republicans here and we're not gonna implicate Democrats here. We're just gonna say they're trying this action of tightening and then the pushback is from Democrats. Like, it's this nice little fair fight. When in reality, they're not just tightening, you know, but you can't reveal that part of the truth because it makes it seem like it's slanted. But the truth is just slanted sometimes. Sometimes the truth just tells you one side is doing this and the other side's trying to stop it. And the effects of this one side doing it is harmful to the country. Certain groups because of their power structure. That's just the way it is. That's the truth. So you can say all that and say, therefore, Republicans are trying to tighten it to help secure some more victories for themselves.
Yeah. So weird. I've never. It's a blind spot that I have that I haven't worked in a lot of different types of newsrooms, so I don't know how the production process really goes. But I just imagine like a producer, like I need a 7-letter word for like when you lock up people for handing out water to people who've been waiting in line for like 6 hours in the sun. Titan. No, that doesn't make any sense to anybody. It's when the gap between how a regular common sense person works and how the most important news is communicated to them is at its greatest. And it's unfortunate. We are still way out from the midterm election, let alone the 2024 election. But we also know that these election cycles are interminable. And that means that if there is going to be a contested Republican primary, it is not as far off as you might think. And the DNC wants to be ready. So we got this little update on the process from Politico with their reporters saying, with Donald Trump proving that traditional resumes aren't a requirement for the GOP, the DNC says they are digging into a wide range of people from current and former elected officials like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley to unconventional candidates like Fox News' Tucker Carlson and Minnesota pillow man Mike Lindell. DNC officials believe social media has made the barrier to entry lower for presidential candidates and that there will be a crowded field again if Trump doesn't run. So we got a little bit more, but the basic idea there, JR, is they're not gonna wait to find out what the dirt is on these people. They're gonna start digging now. And I have thoughts about that, but I will allow you to go first.
I mean, well, is digging on people like Mike Lindell, how much digging do you have to do? Just talk to him.
Digging and more looking.
Just go, hey Mike, what do you think about, and then stop and he'll go. Anything he thinks about is a detrimental thing for his chances at whatever the hell they think he's gonna do. But no, I do get the idea as far as like the barriers have been taken down over who can have enough of a spotlight on themselves to promote themselves enough to run for president or even any other political office, because we see it all the time. Even, you know, the governorship, every time it happened back when even Schwarzenegger was governor out in California, people, I think, many more people that maybe wouldn't have been pointed out as being potential candidates for the spot got those types of that type of attention just because, you know, you have a bigger platform just in general if you have no followers behind him. So I mean, look, I saw something about wasn't Disney character, somebody who was like, a couple of people were like Disney characters or entertainment kids who grew up a little bit, now they're gonna run for office. And I was like, geez, now that's so Raven is gonna be like the next political like standard for what we're gonna,
that's so POTUS. It's crazy. I don't know. I guess it's anyone can. I mean, look at the California recall. It's like, I think there's a bear running. I'm pretty sure I saw a bear running for governor yesterday. So yeah, you're right. For some of them, it's fairly clear. My question, I guess, would be, what is supposed to count as dirt at this point? What could you find that would truly matter? I guess we're sort of gambling. We're rolling the dice that, sure, there's some people that don't seem to be sinkable no matter how horrendous they are, but maybe others will be. Maybe, but I don't know. Like, Mike Lindell is a legitimate, he is the craziest person in any room he's in, and everyone knows it. Even the number two craziest person knows how crazy he is. Tucker Carlson, everybody knows how terrible he is. That's why he has an audience. The calling Iraqis semi-literate primitive monkeys and immigrants make the country dirty and all that. That isn't something to be unveiled. That is why he has an audience literally at all. Maybe people like Nikki Haley. Maybe Ron DeSantis has some stuff in his past, but I don't know what you're gonna find out about Ron DeSantis that is worse than his willingness to allow the people of Florida to die needlessly during a pandemic. We already know this stuff.
We know it.
The voters don't seem to care about. Sorry, go on.
I'm sorry, I totally interrupted you. We know it, but it doesn't matter because it's already been proven that for a lot of voters, they don't mind that. Because the biggest person that was in the head of all this during that whole time was in charge as over 500,000 people died. So we've already proven that we can get by that.
Yeah, so why would it sink him?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, how many Republican voters are like, Matt Gaetz, you've crossed a line. Get out of here, sir. No, like he probably trafficked a kid. They don't care. I don't know what you're going to find out about Nikki Haley that's really going to stand up to that. They have to do it. It's responsible, I'm sure, to do the research, because maybe it could matter and you got to have somebody to talk about the debates anyway. But like, dirt only matters to the extent that the base isn't dirtier than the dirt. And this base is filthy. So I don't think they're gonna mind. They want people that are dirty because they've been fooled, mostly by Fox News, into believing that that's a good thing. That authenticity isn't about not being corrupt and all of that. No, it's about swearing a lot and I don't know, something with prostitute. I don't know, but that's what they believe. And they believe the other side are literal Satanists. So compared to that, you're not gonna find something that's gonna cause them to flip. I don't know. Maybe no, to flip from one Republican to another, but not over to supporting Kamala Harris.
Listen, when you've created a scenario where you've allowed your voting base, or you've talked your voting base into accepting the levels of horrific things that the previous president did. Man, like you have free reign now. Like you can almost feel more comfortable about sexual scandals coming out as long as it's one side. Again, we kept hearing consistently from the Q people and even normal conservatives about child sexual human trafficking and all this stuff. And it was the biggest deal in the world because that's disgusting and no one is in favor of those people until it's on their side. Then they're like, oh, well, but she was borderline, not a kid. So you have to wonder, like, but in 6 months, she was gonna be an adult. I mean, you never know. Like, suddenly there's all this nuance to trafficking a human child. Suddenly there's nuance to it on their, only when it's their guys. It's just one of those things. So once they recognize this, they're like, well, who cares? Matt Gaetz, sure. I mean, we'll just kind of let it go. We're hoping this will just kind of go away as long as the legal system doesn't catch up with him. But now we have a scenario where as long as one side is doing nefarious things, the other side can't do it, but we can. That's the scenario they've set up now.
Yeah. So I guess do your Apple research. Just, I really hope that you've got other plans for winning other than we'll sink them with the dirt. I don't think that's gonna work. You gotta convince people that you've got something for them more than they're too dirty for you, because America is just about an all-time high in dirtiness. That said, there were a couple of quick messages I wanted to read before we say goodbye to JR. Brooke asked an important question. You have a basement, JR?
Oh,
do you have a basement? No. Oh, okay. Because first of all, this is California. Second of all, I just automatically assume every basement comes with a cage now. And Ferdamasses says, none of us are free until Sprocket is free.
Wow.
Free Sprocket, hashtag.
That's the t-shirt you have to have. You know, I mean, the problem is I don't have a basement. You guys have exposed me. So he got out. He's free.
He made it. I'm so surprised. He's free.
He doesn't seem very happy about it because he does enjoy the basement. But you know, he's out.
He's got a little mustache.
Yeah, he's been laying on
his face. You can't see his eyes through his mustache.
He just got groomed. So, I mean, he should be able to see again. There you go. Now you can see,
brother. He's making adorable groom.
He's so upset.
Okay, well, that was a nice surprise, JR. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
He wants the cage, trust.
Okay, well, with that note, that's all the time we unfortunately have.
See, I'm petting him.
Thank you for joining us for JR Wednesdays.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.